Hey, this is Travis Bennett, the pastor here at Arena of Life Church, and I just want to welcome you to our podcast. I pray this builds your faith, encourages you, and brings you to newer levels in Christ. Enjoy the message.
We're going to read this together, so if you please stay standing as we read the word. We'll have the words on the screen, but I'm reading out the King James, and it says this, "And seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying," aren't you thankful that Jesus taught you and I? How many of y'all believe the word of God still works today as it did that day on that mountainside? Amen. It says in verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." Lord, I pray that your word goes forth. I pray that it opens eyes and ears to see, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. All right, look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, pay attention today. This message is for you." All right, you know the drill. Look at the person that's on the other side of you and say, "Sorry, you were my second choice." Oh, all right, well, I just want to tell all of y'all Merry Christmas, but I do want to tell you it's over. Can we have a big sigh of relief that it's over? Right? Amen. And love this time of year. Love the lights. Love the music. Love everything about it. But we got cities to build and contracts to fill. I'm ready for 2022. Who's with me? There's people that need the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I believe this church is ready to make a difference in 2022, so let's do it. Well, if you're here, if you haven't been in this series here, we've been talking about the Beatitudes, and if you wanted a Christmas message, you should have came on the 24th, but I do want to tell all of you that are here on the 26th, you guys are the real Christians. You're the ones that's going to heaven, so you've got it, all right? You could have slept in, but you didn't do it. The Beatitudes. How many of y'all know we live in a world today, in a society, that has an attitude about it? How many of y'all know if you just go to Walmart for a little time, in the third aisle or the fourth aisle, if you're just there for a little bit, there's some kids that you're around of some other people's that you would love to give them an attitude adjustment? Amen? How many of y'all know there's some adults out there that you would like to give them an attitude adjustment? Come on. There's some of y'all in here, I'd like to give you an attitude adjustment. Just going to be honest. But we live in a society, and what we're looking at here is in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. As I began to study this a couple months ago, the Lord really began to pull on my heart is how important this Sermon on the Mount is. In the Sermon on the Mount, he's talking about a kingdom. And he's talking about that kingdom that is the kingdom that he desires for you and I to live in. That we don't live in, we might live on this earth. How many of y'all, Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That we live in this world, but we are not of this world. And he's trying to paint a picture that you live of a different kingdom. You speak in a different kingdom. You walk in a different kingdom. For where your heart is, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's found right here. He talks about us being the salt of the earth. There's so many things that he is lining it out, and he's also talking to Jewish people in the book of Matthew here, and he understands the mantra or the language of where he's coming from. But he starts it off with these eight, or you could even say nine attitudes that if you get your heart right, then you will begin to live out the kingdom that God has in store for you. So we saw in the very beginning, he said, the poor in spirit. Well, first thing he says, blessed is the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And if you want to live in the kingdom of heaven here on this earth, the very first thing that you need to do, number one, is be poor in spirit. Meaning this, I am completely destitute without God. The cars that I have is because of God. The house that I have is because of God. Yes, I have put my hand to the plow. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. I haven't been lazy. God has blessed me in that way. But God has given me the ability with these hands to do what I do today. Can I get an amen out there? See, if you don't realize that first, it's going to be hard for you to understand the Beatitudes. He said, blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And so lots of times we think that joy or blessing or happiness comes from the horse or the trailer or the truck or the friendship or the girlfriend or the house or that sports car or whatever it is. But he's saying, no, you're looking for joy in all the wrong places. He says you're looking for it in material things, but really joy comes from a countercultural way of life that we live today. How many of y'all know we live in a world today, excuse the phrase, but we live in the world of keeping up with the Joneses or keeping up with the Whitakers or keeping up with the Davisons. See, we live in this society that we think happiness is going to come if I had what that person has. And God is saying this, you want true happiness? You want a joy that never goes away? I'm telling you, that boat will go and joy will go with it. But I'm telling you, if you get a hold of being meek and teachable, I'm telling you that joy will stay everlasting and everlasting. If you have the joy of those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, you'll be satisfied. If you get that fulfillment that comes from all of these things, these eight things, I'm telling you, you are setting your life up for success and not for failure. And I'll tell you, as I've studied the Beatitudes, it stretched me. You know, lots of times, come on, I'm just going to be very humble and honest with you. I'll read something, and it'll be very convicting. And I'll think, well, God, that's your way, but I have my way of doing it. There was times, I remember one time my dad was about to whip me, and he shared the scripture with me. He said, son, rebellion is built up in the heart of a child, is in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will take it far from him. And I said, Dad, this is God's way. Let's do it a different way. Come on, am I the only one who's ever thought that before? Right? Give and it'll be given back to you. I don't want to give. I want to keep this to myself. I want to do things a little bit different. And as I've studied these and what they really mean, I'm like, ugh, it's hurt so good. It's like doing CrossFit. I've never done CrossFit, but I've watched CrossFit. Y'all don't judge me. None of y'all have either. Well, some of y'all have. Amanda has, but Gabe hasn't. But It's like watching that or being involved in that. How many of y'all feel like doing these Beatitudes, it's been an exercise to each and every one of you? Can I tell you, exercise is good for you. All right, spiritual exercise for sure. But all of this has been it hasn't been condemning, but it's been very convicting. And today we're going to go over verse 9. And before I do that, I just want to ask y'all, coming out of the Christmas season, how many of y'all have... Well, let me not put it in question. You know those people in your family that they just make it hard? You know those people in that family that they just, you know, they not only make your head itch, they make your butt itch? Like, it's like, are you trying to make our life miserable on the birth of Christ holiday? You know what I'm talking about? Like, anytime they're around, is so-and-so coming? Ugh. You know... Hey, y'all don't look at me judgmental. I know you all got them in your household. So here's the deal. I'm going to ask this question. How many of y'all have those people in your family that just make things hard? It could be somebody's girlfriend. It could be somebody's... Come on, just keep your hand raised. Come on. Who is it? Just be honest. Be honest. Okay. I want y'all to look around. If you see nobody with their hand raised, I want to tell you that every family has this person. So if you don't have your hand raised, the shoe fits, wear it. That's all I'm trying to say. I mean, I'll believe that out there. They're in every family, so you don't judge the ones that's got two or three of them. Everybody has one of them. But in verse 9, it says, God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. That's New Living Testament. In the Passion Translation, it says, how joyful you are when you make peace, For then you will be recognized as a true child of God. I know all of you, or not all of you, but there's some of you already in the room. You're like, why did I come to church today? But I believe God is asking of all of us, if you're going to truly be a kingdom player here and live in the kingdom of God, it's a time that we're living in that we've got to have the attitude of being a peacemaker. I knew I wouldn't have very many amens with that one. But let's go ahead and break this down. King James, it says this, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And we've already talked about blessed and what that means. It's makarios. It's also a translation of the word happy. And it comes from the Greek word of hap, which means this, when the happenings are right, then we can walk in joy or true fulfillment. But really, that's not a great description of this because no matter what's happening around us, God wants us to live in peace and in joy. Can I get an amen out there? And so the first thing that came to my attention as I was studying this, and this is one thing, as you study the Word of God long enough, you get this. But the first thing before I even studied this, the Lord reminded me of this, is that I'm sure these people that were on the multitude listening to these, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are they that mourn, blessed are they that meek, the meek, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, blessed are those who are merciful, blessed are the pure in heart. But when he gets to number 7, how many of y'all know they were leaning in? Because number 7 in the Jewish culture is the number of completion or the number of perfection. They were anticipating number 7 and they were leaning in. Can I tell you, lean in today? Lean in, because I'm telling you, this is the word perfection here. And he gets to, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And the Jewish people, they knew this. They knew that living in peace was the highest ideal of life. And can I tell you, in 2021, how many of y'all believe we need to walk in peace today? How many of y'all know there's just a feeling that we need peace? It doesn't take you very long. There's places that you go that you can tell people are just very dramatic about the fear that they are living in. And so I looked it up. I was thinking about what are some things that people are not living in peace in today. And sometimes you can look these stats up on Google and things that are people that are dealing with. And your number one thing that people are dealing with today is this word. It's crazy. How many of you know people have lost their ever-living mind? How many of y'all know Brandon has lost his ever-living mind? Come on. How many of y'all know it's crazy we live in a society that's lost its ever-living mind? And lots of time we think of peace as being the absence of something. And this ain't nothing new that you've learned. If you've sat under the teaching ministry of Pastor Ty, this is something that he taught us. And I went back to some notes of messages he taught on peace. But peace is not the absence of something, right? It's not the absence of something. Sometimes we think that world peace is the absence of war, but it's really not. We think peace in a disagreement that you may have had in your family is the absence of conflict, but it's really not. We think that peace is the absence of stress and anxiety, of things that you're dealing with and issues. But can I tell you what Jeremiah 6:14 says? He's talking about the world that we live in and the earth that we live on. He says, they have also healed the hurt of many of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Can I tell you, in the world we live in today, there is no peace. I'm going to say that again. Can I tell you that in the world that we live in today, there is no peace? I'll tell you where there is peace is right here in this book. Come on. How many of y'all know there is peace in his presence? The Bible tells us in Psalm 16:11, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. He tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. I'm telling you, in his word is peace. In his word is peace. I tell you, you get in his word, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God is what the Bible says. When you hear stories of how he was there for Joseph, how he was there for Joshua, I'm telling you, that brings peace, but the world is without peace. Peace is never found in the absence of something. It's found in the presence of. I'm going to say that again. Peace is not found in the absence of something. It's found in the presence of. Real peace is not being emptied out, but it's being filled up. I hope you get this morning. You know, the word peace in the Greek, it means this. It's the word shalom. And I believe this word has been trampled over, and there's times where people say shalom. But the word shalom means this. It means wholeness, completeness, fulfillment, inner rest. How many of y'all know there's people that need inner rest? Come on, just lift your hand and say, you know what, I need inner rest. Inner rest, it means living without deficiency or lack. Meaning this, no matter how much is inside of your bank account, you can still live in peace. That no matter where your kids are out there, and we're believing God that they come back to the land of the living, you can still, even with the deficiency of them not being at the place that you want them to be in, you can still, through the power of God, live in a place of peace. Come on, who's hearing me this morning? That even though the doctor's report has told you that bad report, saying that there's no way physically, through the power of science and medicine, it can come back to this. We serve a God that is the healer, Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. By his stripes we are healed. We can still live in a place of peace. Come on, who's hearing me this morning? All right, that no matter what CNN and no matter what Biden said, that America, get ready, that this place is going to be worse than it's ever been. I can curse those words from that administration and say that I'm going to walk in healing and in health. Come on, who's with me this morning? I don't care what's been said. I don't care what science has told you. I don't care what Dr. Fauci has said. I'm believing the good report of the Lord. Come on, who's with me today? All right. Facebook, I hope you're watching. How many of y'all know you can live in moments of peace? You know, how many of y'all have those places that you've gone before that it's just peaceful? Like, even though you've read all that stuff on Facebook and seen what's going on in the world today and know what's going on in somebody's life or what's happening in the world, but those places to where, you know, you just got a little bit of a breeze. I think about Lake LBJ when we take our kids every year. I park my phone in the room just for emergencies only, because how many of y'all know you need to disconnect from time to time? Like, horses can wait to be shod. We have a great pastoral team that you can rely on for a week's time. Amen. Let's give it up for our pastoral team. Of sitting out on that with our kids and having that fire and just knowing that even all those things are going on in the world and being back in a cove. And I remember this summer that the wind was blowing, had huge wake out there. But the way our house was, you had to go through a cove to get way back in there, and how there was no wind and it was peaceful. Like, on the other side of the mountain here, and on the other side of the house and what was going on in the world, all those things were still happening. But even in the midst of all that happening, I still had a fulfillment of peace. Come on, I'm telling you today, you can leave here with a fulfillment of peace like you've never had. And so in this scripture here, he says, not only you can have peace, but you can make peace. The word maker means this. It means to do. It means to do peace, basically. It's being a peacemaker and not a peacekeeper. There's a difference between a peacemaker and a peacekeeper. Now, I want you to lean in on this, because many of you out there may be a peacekeeper, but God has not called you to be a peacekeeper. God has called you to be a peacemaker. See, a peacekeeper, what he'll do, he'll avoid conflict. He'll hide things under the rug. Anywhere, you know, it's like parents. Parents, God has called you to make peace, not keep peace. Like, you may know of sin that's going on in your son or daughter's life. Don't put it under the rug. You deal with it in Jesus' name. Well, I don't want to ruffle any feathers. I tell you, either way, you're going to ruffle some feathers, but you'd rather them go to the kingdom of heaven rather than the flames of hell. Can I get an amen out there? I know I'm speaking hard right now, but God has called us to be peacemakers and not peacekeepers. In your marriage, it's so easy to say, oh boy, I know this is get her wound up tighter than a banjo string. Or get him wound up tighter than a banjo string. But I'm telling you, if you don't deal with it, both of you are going to blow up and it's going to be like World War III. Who am I talking to today? Don't look at me judgmental because I know you've all done it. God has called you to be a peacemaker and not a peacekeeper. And you may have been raised in a home, oh, we just don't deal with that. We don't do that. But anywhere there is conflict, I believe God has called each and every one of us. Lots of times as a peacekeeper, we just want everybody to be okay. How many of y'all know those people? How many of y'all are those people? No, don't raise your hand, all right? But a peacemaker does this. That's different from the peacekeeper because a peacekeeper, he avoids conflict. He hides it under the rug. I just want everybody to be okay. But a peacemaker, he might bring conflict because anytime that conflict comes, it's because you have confronted something. How many of y'all know God has called you to confront something? Come on, if you're a true friend to somebody, you should call out the sin that's in their life. And you should be ready for the sin that they call out in your life. Anywhere there's a lack of peace, God has called us to hit it with the truth. That's what a peacemaker does. I don't know about you, but I want to be a peacemaker, not a peacekeeper. In my marriage, I want to be a peacemaker and not a peacekeeper. Parenting my kids, I want to be a peacemaker, not a peacekeeper. As an American, I want to be a peacemaker and not a peacekeeper. I told you, these are hard for me. Come on, we're stretching together. I'm going to be a peacemaker and not a peacekeeper. On Facebook, I'm going to be a peacemaker. Ooh, I'm preaching good right now. And not a peacekeeper. Come on. I knew you were in jail, Bobby. Praise the Lord. Break out in Jesus' name. So he says, blessed are the peace. We talked about peace. Maker, that means to do it. For they will be called the children of God. Now, I never had revelation of this till this time. Of course, I've never studied this before. But I want you to think about it like this, John. If God is the God of peace, how many of y'all know the word says the peace of God that surpasses all understanding? How many of y'all know that we serve a God of peace? And how many of y'all know we just celebrate in Isaiah 9 where it says, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So he is the God of peace and his son is the Prince of Peace. So if we are created in the image of God, and peace comes through us because of our inheritance and our identity is peace. So when peace is working in our life and we're making peace because our God is peace and their Son of God is the Prince of Peace, then people will see us as children of God. Are you seeing that? So if you're a child of God, I never saw that before, but if I'm living out my identity and my heritage in Him, that means that the fruit of that is me being a peacemaker, not a peacekeeper. Are you hearing me this morning? Who out there wants to be a child of God? When your neighbors see you, see, you know what? That guy right there, he is a child of God. That woman right there, that person that's on the PTA board, I know that there's times that she ruffles some feathers because she goes against the agenda of where we're trying to go, but I can honestly say this about her, that she is a child of God. Come on, I don't know about you, but my heart's desire is to be a child of God. We are never more like God than when we take the wholeness and completeness we have into a world that desperately needs it. Right? Because that's what shalom is. So how do we do it? How many of y'all know we live in a world that it's hard to be a peacemaker? Number one is this. Write it down. You have to experience it first yourself. You have to experience it. Come on, say it with me. I have to experience it. And the first thing is this. If you don't have peace with God, don't leave here without peace with God. That's the whole message of the gospel. And every time we come together, every 52 weeks we come together, we always preach the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross, that he was buried, and on the third day he rose again for you and I sins. How many of y'all thankful for the grace and mercy of God that he did for you and I? And you may be out there and you're full of sin, you might be full of shame, you might be full of guilt. I'm telling you, you can leave here today with the peace of God on the inside of you. The word tells us this in Romans 5, 1 and 2. This is the good news. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's eyes, you may never be right in grandmama's eyes. You may never be right in your old boss's eyes. You may never be right even in your spouse's wife. But can I tell you, the one who created you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first, the last, the author and the finisher of our faith, the one who counts the most, he says, you know what? I have forgiven you as far as the east is from the west. Come on, that's good preaching right there. You ought to be thankful for that on this Christmas holiday. You have been made right in God's sight. You may be having the guilt of shame, death all over you. Don't leave here today with that garbage that happened 5 years ago. That happened 10 years ago and 15 years ago. The past is gone. Behold, the new has come. Amen. We're not going to live in the rearview mirror of life. We're going to look through the big window, the big glass, the big picture in Jesus' name. So it says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God. Come on, when you know you got peace with God. It says, because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us, because our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. So number one, if you're gonna experience, you first gotta have peace with God. Number two, you've gotta have peace within. After you have peace with God, I believe this, you can have peace with God, but still not experience peace within. It says this in Philippians 4, 6 and 8. You're like, Pastor, you've shared this 400 times this year. I'm sharing it again because you still don't do it. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. It doesn't say worry about everything and put it on Facebook for the whole world to know. Come on, I'm even gonna get on to you once. Unspoken prayer request. You are looking for attention. I'm just gonna be honest. You're looking for people to ask and all that different stuff. Don't even put it out there. You call somebody who is confident and has a walk with the Lord and said, you know what, I'm gonna stand with you and I'm gonna speak the prayer of faith. I'm not gonna speak negative words, but I'm gonna speak that you are the healed of the Lord. That things are gonna turn around in Jesus' name. Come on. Sorry. Merry Christmas. All right. What we do is worry about everything and pray about nothing. Come on. We need to be faithful to pray. Prayer works if you work it. The name of Jesus works if you work it. The Word works if you just work it. The Holy Spirit works if you just work it. Come on, you leave here today ready to work it. Instead of worrying about everything, let's pray about everything. And then it goes on to say, tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Isn't it something that when you pray, or this happens to me and I'm sure it happens to everybody else, Pastor Michelle, you're probably the same way, as you begin to pray about a situation that's heavy and rough, as I begin to pray, God reminds me of all the times that he's been there for me, that he never leaves me and he never forsakes me. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, the Bible says. He is the same today as he was in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so as I begin to pray about that, a thanksgiving comes over me. Thank you, God, that you were there for me 5 years ago. Thank you, God, that you were there for me 10 years ago. And there's an overwhelming peace. And I don't care how big of the mountain it is, I'm telling you it will be a molehill by the time you pray and thank God. And so he says, thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and mind as you live in Christ Jesus. How many of y'all know that the most peace that you need to have is right here and right here? It's wickedness in high places right here. It says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Get rid of your stinking thinking, right? Because what you think is what you say, and what you say is what you have. And for the things from your mind to get inside of your heart, it has to come out of your mouth. So you might as well think on things that are lovely, pure, and of a good report. Think on things, let me just help you out in 2021, think on things that are true. I mean, I know there's a bunch of false information out there. Let's think on things that are true. That he's still the provider, that he supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I will say the Lord that he's my refuge and my fortress, in him I put my trust. Number two, that he still keeps his angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways, that no evil befalls me and no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I'm going to think on things that are true. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm more than a conqueror. Greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. If God be for me, then who in the world can be against me? Come on, that's still true today. No matter what government says or what doctors say or what my lawyer says against me, I'm believing the truth of the word of God. Come on, who am I talking to today? Wake up. You got to have peace within. How many of y'all know you can have peace within no matter what the circumstance is? I remember one time I was shoeing in McLean, Texas, Johnson Ranch. We had been all summer long, all through the spring, telling our kids we're going to Wimberley, Texas with Maranatha Church. I never forget where I was, what horse I was working on when the news came from Scott Niemeyer, the guy, the buddy of mine that pastors a church now in Houston, Texas. But he was a youth pastor we're going to put this church or this youth camp along with and have it together. And he calls me and says, hey, they messed up at the camp, but we can't have this particular dorm for all of you and your kids. I'm so sorry. And I was like, how many of y'all know? It may not feel big to you, but it was big to me. We already had the flyers out. We already had plans. Preparation was being made. This was like 3 weeks before. But I remember I prayed right there at the anvil. How many of y'all know you can pray wherever you are? You don't have to wait to come to the preacher. If it happens on Monday, you can pray on Monday. You don't even have to call the preacher. You can, and I'll get in agreement with you, but I'm telling you, what word are you going to stand on? Are you going to pray? I'm trying to help you out and have the peace of God. You can pray. You can pray. I'm going to say it again. Gabe, they can pray. Y'all can pray. All right. And so I begin to pray right there at the anvil. And I'm telling you, it was an overwhelming, God reminded me all the times. And it was amazing. That year, we went to camp for our first time by ourselves, put on our own camp. It was amazing. Kids got healed. Kids got filled with the Holy Spirit. Kids were set free. We did it all by ourselves with peace on the inside of us. Come on. Peace, 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 peace. And so I have this saying here. I don't know who wrote it, but I have it in my Bible, wrote down. And from time to time, I go to it. It says this: when a problem causes you to lose your peace, don't hurry to resolve the problem in hopes of regaining peace, but first regain peace and then see what God can, what can be done about the problem. It's like first you as a dad, you put your oxygen mask on before you help your kid. And lots of times we're raising our kids in a home full of drama because we're like, ah, what are we going to do? No, you regain peace and you show it to your kids that we serve the God of peace. No matter what's been said, what's been done, I'm going to raise my children knowing that I can rely on him and whatever it is. You can have peace within. The third thing is this: if you're going to experience, you've got to have peace within your circumstances. For in John 16:33, he said this, And I remember when COVID hit in March, nobody knew anything about anything. We were in Florida, and the first thing that Pastor Ty told me was this, all of us at the dinner table, he shared this scripture. I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. How many of y'all know he still has overcome the world? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And so you've got to have peace within your circumstances. Many of you know that me and Anson was in a wreck on I-40 here not too long ago. And we got sideswiped, scared the living daylights out of us. And the other day, Anson and I, now he's at this place, it happened on I-40. And it wasn't our fault, it just happened out of nowhere. And he always says, Dad, which way are we going to go? Are we going down I-40? And so we got in the car and I prayed with him. I said, son, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I said, son, you don't have to live in fear of this anymore. He said, Dad, you were in a wreck when you were a little boy, weren't you? I said, yeah, I was. A very devastating wreck. He said, you lost your sister. I said, I did. He said, but you're not afraid to go anywhere or do anything. He said, Dad, what are you afraid of? You know, that was a compliment to me. That I've raised my kids, that the peace of God dwells inside of me. And I'm telling you, my kids, they've had every opportunity of phone calls that we've received and things that we've gone through to know that parents that went, bah! Just like that day that we got hit, I said, son, calm down. You're okay. You're okay. I'm telling you, it was a wreck, y'all. You can ask my body man over here. It was a wreck, but I've still had an overwhelming of peace. Peace. I'm telling you, you can experience the same thing. No matter what circumstance you're going through today, you can have peace. Can I tell you, as a youth pastor, I knew the homes that were not raised in peace, of just even the little things that were, oh my God. Parents, let's be an example to our kids of the peace of God. Let's be an example of peacemakers. Real quick, I'm ending. John, if you want to come ahead. Here's number two. We need to extend peace to others through the way we live our life. You know what I still remember today? How many of y'all remember when the Boston bombing happened? Y'all remember that? I remember I was watching it on TV. I remember me and Pastor Brandy being inside the kitchen there. And when that Boston bombing happened, I remember all these people leaving the scene of where the bombing happened. But the one thing that I remember the most was all these people running to the bombing. And I told her then, however long it happened, I mean, what was that, 10 years ago or more? I told her then, that's the picture of what God sees us as believers. Can I tell you today in 2021, God's called you to be a peacemaker. Not run from the problem, but run to the problem and bring peace to the situation. Lots of times we run from it. I tell you what, I saw a lot of people in 2021 running because of COVID. God's told us to run to it and be a maker of peace. It tells us this. And so number one is this. If you're going to extend peace to others through the way we live our life, you need to have the realization and revelation of this. You need to focus on the real issue. The issue is not with the outlaw or the in-law. The issue is not with the person. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers over darkness, wickedness in high places. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Talking about putting on the armor of God. But we don't wrestle against people. We don't wrestle against politicians. We don't wrestle against viruses. We don't wrestle against doctors and medicine. Well, our fight is against people, is a real spiritual battle. Against the deceiver. Against the prince of the power of the air. The enemy. Satan. The real issue. The Bible tells us this. We need to focus on the real issue. John 10, verse 10. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But God comes to give life and life more abundantly. So if it's stealing peace from your relationship, It's not the spouse, it's the enemy. Get that? Come on, I need that. If it's stealing peace from the relationship with the kids, dad, you're going to have to call the enemy out on the carpet. You get under my feet. Right? If it's in the finances or whatever it is, if things breaking down, you lost your dryer, your washer. How many of y'all have ever had those months before? Your AC. Come on. The fight is against the thief that comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's the real issue. But as you experience this, no matter what goes on, no matter what breaks down, and you experience peace, can I tell you that it is a testimony to the people that are around you of when peace lives on the inside of you. So number one, we need to focus on the real issue. Number two, we need to see people through God's eyes. Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he's created him. Male and female, he created them. Do you have a picture of a wagon wheel? I know I put it in my notes, but I guess we're going to have to use our imagination. Do you have one? Okay. Maybe you've seen the analogy of this or heard of this. But the Lord reminded me of this as I was studying this out. If we're going to have the peace to other people. It's the picture of a wagon wheel. You know, there's a perfect circle on the outside. There's a perfect circle on the middle, and then the spokes that go out. And what those spokes represent is people that's not only in your life, that's even away from your life. The people at Walmart, the people that walk different ways of life, that do things a little bit differently. The hippies out there, the millennials out there. Come on. The politicians out there. And those are the different spokes. But in the middle, the circle represents God, the God of peace. And lots of times we focus on the other spokes, but if you're in your spoke and in your lane, leaning and focused on the God of peace, I'm not worried about him. I'm not worried about her. I'm not worried about what's going on and all these, but I'm focusing on him. And I'm telling you, if everyone gets that revelation, that's what makes the wheel turn. Your son needs to focus on God. Your daughter needs to focus on God. The man and wife needs to focus on God. We'll begin to see God, see people through the eyes of God. I'm telling you, you'll live at more peace when you do that. How many of y'all know we get so worked up because of somebody else and what they're doing in their life? That's what Facebook's done. You care so much about people you don't even like. Moving on. You know what Martin Luther King said? He said this, be the peace you wish to see in the world. Isn't that good? I'll go ahead and write that down. Be the peace that you wish to see in the world. You want to see it in other people? You be it. If you're sick of your kid blowing up, they learned it somewhere. I could go ahead and hit a few more, but I'm not going to. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. James 3:18 says this, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. I don't know about you, but I want righteousness. You know what? My goal for you today is this, on this Sunday morning. Let's be the evidence of peace to our world. You don't need a t-shirt that says, I'm peaceful. I'm a peacemaker. You don't need a necklace with a cross that says, I'm a peacemaker. Come on, let's just be evidence of it. The way we talk, the way we walk, the way we do things. Of that we walk in peace, and not only do we walk in peace, but we are makers of peace. There's one last scripture I want to share with you in John 17. Jesus is speaking to God. He's been very thankful at this moment, and he says this, I have given them the glory that you gave me. Come on, let's stand to our feet. I'm coming to a close here. Again, Jesus is speaking to God here, and he says this, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. He's talking about people here on this earth as we are one. I and them, and you and me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. How many of y'all know we need unity in the world today? Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. So as we love God, as we have a relationship, as we pursue after him, people will begin to see the evidence of peace inside your and I's life. Who needs this today? Come on, who needs this today? Just be honest. I don't know about you. You can put your hands down, but I want to be a peacemaker. And the Lord convict me of lots of times I'm a peacekeeper. Right? How many of y'all can say, you know what, I've been a peacekeeper? God has called, and can I tell you, you can do it in love. A maker of peace in love. I'm not going to run from the conflict. I'm going to run to the conflict, and I'm going to bring the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. And I believe as we, as a body of Christ, we as parents, we as spouses, we as Americans, people will begin to see this in us. He's a child of God. She's a child of God. Look at him. He's a child of God. Wow. He didn't run from it. He ran to it. Let's bring peace in the situation. Come on, let me see a show of hands out there. How many of y'all need peace in your family right now of something that's going on? Wow. Wow. God's called you to be a peacemaker. God's called you to be a peacemaker. All right? There's some things that you need to do. I believe God is going to give you a word right now for such a time as this. God, I pray for these that lifted their hand. And I pray for the power of God to go into operation. I pray, Lord, that you would use them to make peace in that relationship with that son and daughter. God, to make peace with those in-laws. God, to make peace with that mom or that dad. To make peace with that neighbor. God, it doesn't mean that we have to invite them over for fried chicken, but God, I'm believing right now, Lord, that you're just preparing their heart and making their heart right so that they can be pure in heart, as the scripture says. And I pray for the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Guard their heart, guard their mind. And they would go into this new year being the peacemaker you've called them to be. Because God, you sent your son, the Prince of Peace, to die, to be buried, on the third day, raise again. Live on the inside of us. So Lord, I'm praying for the power of God to go in operation and that they would be the peacemakers you've called them to be in Jesus' name.
Thanks for joining us. We want to thank all of you who give to our ministries here at AOL Church. It's because of you that all of this is possible. You can give now by clicking the link below. And if you haven't already, subscribe and share this message. It helps us reach more people and share the gospel through you. Be sure to stay connected to us through our Church Center app, our website, arenaoflifechurch.org, and follow us on social media like Facebook and Instagram. May the Lord bless you and keep you. His face shine upon you, be gracious to you, and give you peace. Thanks again for listening. Go and make a difference today.